really, you do not want to get involved in delivering demonic spirits unless you are exactly in the center of God's will. Because I'm telling you, that spirit can come back on you. That spirit is always looking for a warm body to go to. And doesn't make no difference who it is or what it is. If you cast it out of one, it'll go to another. I was reading a testimony of a church that was praying for an individual that was possessed. And an individual went up there to pray. And when it was all over with, they had to pray the demonic out of that individual, because that individual was not where they should have been. It went from that person into that other person, and they had two individuals then that was possessed. So it's nothing to fool around with. It's nothing. If you're not spiritually fasting and praying, then you better just stay clear of it. Leave it go. And let yourself come to the Lord and find out what God has in store. And bring somebody in that can do what has to be done. I mentioned to you last time about praying Hyde. How many remember that? About how he was so close to the Lord in prayer that he had holes beside his bed where he knelt and prayed. Grooves in the floor where he prayed. And how they called him to go into that room with that woman that was demonic. And as soon as he walked into that room, the total atmosphere of that room prayed, changed. She quieted down. She got delivered. And everybody said, the testimony in the book I was reading on it was saying that you would not understand or believe unless you were there what took place when he walked into that room. He was so close to the Lord. And I think of Peter and them. You know, when his shadow fell upon those that were sick and they were healed, the power of God was so strong in him. And the title of my message tonight is The Conqueror. You are a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have power and authority. The trouble is, most of the time, probably 90% of the time, we don't use the power and authority we have. We don't take the power and authority. I'm going to, you know, as I introduce tonight, let's just pray. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a battle in this country, Lord. We're in a fight like we have never been in before. It's a battle of the demonic spirits over this country, taking over and driving people and moving in the power of Satan himself. And Lord, we as a church and as a body of Christ, we need to realize the authority that we have in you and the power we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us here tonight, Father, to have our eyes opened and our heart open. Let your anointing fall upon us, Father, and I may bring forth only that which you would have me to say. And Father, that your Spirit will touch us here tonight and minister to us and make us to be stronger in our walk with you, that we can combat the things that come against us. And as John Kirkpatrick said about the dark times coming, that God was going to send, you're going to send your angels to help us and to protect us. And he also said that you told him that some of them we may see and some of them we may not see, but they're going to be present And Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for tonight, thanking you for the privilege we have to be here and to gather in your name and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Professional counselors today will tell you that every person's life, there will be a crisis. Every person. How many of you know what I'm saying is true? Every person will have a crisis. They'll be blindsided. And you may feel you're ready for anything. How many ever felt that way? Ever felt you were ready for anything? I have. Thought I was ready for everything, and all of a sudden something hit me that I wasn't ready for. It blindsided me. And it tore my life apart. But I want you to know that there's one person we can become more than conquerors in that situation and that crisis through the Lord Jesus Christ. But in reality, we're not ready. But it never comes from where we expect it to come from. It sneaks up on us or when we are taking life easy. How many of you know sometimes as Christians we want to just cruise? Life is easy. Everything's going along all right. I don't have no worries. Well, that's when things hit us. It comes when we least expect it and when we are not financially able to handle it. How many know what I'm talking about? It doesn't care who you are or anything about your life. Boom. It just slaps you up alongside of your head and sends you forth to a tumble. Then like a tornado, sends you into a place you don't want to be. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? Mark 4, 36 and 42. Crisis can be very destructive. It can set us back very far in our life financially, emotionally, spiritually. It can tear us up physically. A physical crisis can tear us up, our families financially, and our own lives. Mark 4, 36 and 42 says, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. And as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, said it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful?'" How many can relate to that? In a crisis hits you, things happen. In the middle of it, you have a relationship with Christ. You walk with him for years. You know what God can do, but there you are. Your fear hits upon you. They had Christ in the boat with them. They have seen what he had done. They knew what he was capable of doing. And he asked them, after he rebuked the wind and said, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased and there was a great calm, but he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Even the wind and the sea, the natural elements, can obey Christ in the name of Christ. How many experiences have we read about and testimonies that where individuals have gone through tornadoes and people prayed in the house and the tornado went over them and the house was left intact and hit everything else? And how many areas where people were prayed where they were the only house in the area and everything else was demolished? We got a conqueror that conquers all things in our lives if we'll allow him to work in our lives. They were afraid of being shipwrecked. They had fear of that. Total loss. They thought was imminent. It was coming. We're going to be shipwrecked. We're going to drown. And this is going to happen. A most bleak outlook they had. Disciples had done all they knew what to do. Yet they were still going under. And all it was they called on Jesus. Had to wake him up. Wasn't bothering him. He was asleep. Had to wake him up. Sometimes it isn't Jesus we got to wake up. It's us that has to wake up to what power and authority we have. Until someone remembered Jesus was aboard the boat. How many know Jesus is aboard your boat? He's aboard your boat tonight. He's with you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what traumas or what experiences you're having, Jesus Christ is on board. You may not see Him. Sometimes you may not feel Him. But He's on board. He's right there with you. He's never left you. He will not forsake you. He'll be with you through everything. Every trial you've ever gone through, whether you know it or not, Jesus has walked with you. Every battle you've ever fought, Jesus has been there. Crisis of desolation to make lonely or miserable. How many of you have ever felt lonely? Come on now. Have you ever felt that nobody cares? That old song, "Nobody Cares, Guess I'll Go Eat Worms." You ever remember that song? How many remember that song? That's the way we felt. We get the mully grubs. How many know what the mully grubs are? Yeah. Sometimes your chin drags on the concrete. You got to put a Band-Aid on it. You get the mully grubs. I'm telling you, that's exactly where the devil wants us to be. To get us down. But then we got to remember, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be a conqueror? Did you ever stop and think about that? It means to completely take over and control. When during wartime, when they conquer a town or a village or whatever, they completely take that over and take control of the area. Completely in control of it. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We've got power and authority. He's on the boat with us. Mark 5:1-8 says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come up under the boat, immediately there met him from the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with chains, and the chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones." I think of our young people that are cutting themselves right now. That's demonic. People don't want to say it. Psychiatrists don't want to admit it. It's demonic. It's nothing to do with physical. It's actually a demonic. You can give them pills. You can do what you want. Put them through rehab and do whatever you want. But it's demonic. Until there's a deliverance from that. Until it's done and taken care of. And that person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be continually in battle. And we need to understand that. We're living in a time when that's happening. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Let me tell you something. The devil knows the presence of God. The devil knows the presence of an individual filled with the Holy Ghost and the power. The devil knows it. I remember praying for a woman one time with a demonic. And the devil spoke to me and said, "Who are you?" Now I'm going to tell you, when a woman comes out with a man's voice, very hard, and looks at you and with them eyes gleaming and says, "Who are you?" Let me tell you something. That's a time where fear can come over you. I looked straight at her and I said, "I'm nobody. That Christ Jesus in me has power and authority over you. In Jesus' name, be quiet." Never spoke again. Jesus' name has power, has authority. The church has failed to take the authority we have over demonics. We don't want to admit when somebody is being possessed or oppressed by a demonic force. We're afraid to pray for them for that. And years ago, we didn't stop. We took advantage of the situation. In other words, if it was, we gathered together and we would pray. A prayer of deliverance. And I will say this at this time, that if you're in a situation and you're not where you should be with the Lord, there's one or two things you need to do when somebody starts to pray for somebody that's demonic. That's either you take your Bible and get it close to you and hold it and start praying, or you evacuate that building. You get out of it. You get away from it. You don't need to be there if something like that's going on. You don't need to be in the presence. Now you may say, "Well, I don't want to hear that tonight." I'm telling you, we're more than conquerors. We can overcome anything the devil throws at us. Tonight we heard Tony Toss saying something about being in this world. The prince of this world, and we need to understand this, the prince of this world is Satan himself. He's the prince of the world. And this world is his domain right now. And we're just walking through. As Christians, we're just going through. But we have power to shed all the fiery darts that he throws at us. We have the power through the Lord Jesus Christ that covers us and delivers us. We have that authority in Christ to make a stand. Now, I want you to know that as long as we're on this earth, until Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to go through some battles. And we need to know our position. The tapes we've been listening to on Wednesday night with Perry Stone, talking about power and authority that we have and the paganistic spirits that are in our country right now. We have authority to overcome those. But we have to get ourselves where God wants us to be. Spiritually. Spiritually. Mind warped. Emotions frayed. Passions uncontrolled, beyond human help. The demonic was beyond human help. They couldn't do anything for him. Not one thing. But Christ came on the scene. And when you come on the scene with Christ in your life, hallelujah, you can come up face to face with the power of Satan and you can defeat him. You can defeat him just like this demonic individual. He knew the presence of Jesus Christ. He knew who Christ was. And the devil will know who Christ is in your life. And he'll know how much power you have in your life. And where you are spiritually in your life. He knows it. That's when God takes over. When our crisis is outside the realm of human help and ability. When we have gone as far as we can and done as much as we can, then God takes over. God takes over. The crisis of disease. Mark 5:25-34. woman with an issue of blood. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I could only touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." What power there is in Christ Jesus. The clothes that he wore. She had no hope. She was in a crisis. And if you understand the scripture, she was not allowed to be around anybody with our physical ailment. She was not allowed to be around anybody. But she was that day, Tony. She reached through the crowd. I could picture her in her crisis, reaching through and just touching. She's in her heart. She heard about Jesus. She heard about what he had done and the things he had done. She heard about it all. She said, "Just one touch. That's my only hope." In the middle of a crisis, she reached through. She reached through and touched the hem of his garment. And it said he felt virtue, power flow out of him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "There's a crowd around you. How do you know?" He said, "I know." She was fearful. Scripture tells us she was fearful. And then she told them about her life and what was going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a touch. Just a touch of Jesus can bring you through that crisis. Just a touch of Jesus. Just touching him. Yielding your life to him. Immediately it said the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around to in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you and say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her and had done the thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." The very end of her life, coming to an end, did not know what to do, had nowhere else to go, no help, no hope, no happiness, until she heard about Jesus. New hope, powerful help, now available with her assurance of a peaceful happiness. Crisis of death. Jairus' daughter, Mark 5:21-24, 35 and 43. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. And he was by the sea, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And we saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Do not let unbelievers stop you from receiving what God has for you in the middle of your crisis. Hold on by faith to the Word of God. Hold on. These were people that come and said, "She's dead. Why are you bothering Christ?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brothers of James. And when he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw the tumult of those who wept, and they were weeping and crying because they said she was dead. When he came, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, for they had put him all aside. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was laying. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. He wasn't concerned about everything else, but he said, give her something to eat. She's probably hungry. Arise. They were amazed. I'm going to tell you something. When we see God raise individuals, there have been individuals raised from the dead. I've never seen one, but they've been raised from the dead. I guess I was raised from the dead because I was dead spiritually. I was dead spiritually and raised into new life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this. Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house when the issue of blood was healed. He was on his way there. We must have caused, that must have caused the faith of this nobleman to surge, because he was there and met Christ. It must cause his faith to grow when he's seen what happened to the woman. You see, it was also the faith of the nobleman when Jesus told him. But the faith, very apex, the very point, the worst of news possible came to Jairus. You know, it came to him that his daughter was dead. He did not receive that. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just go on and believing. Just go on and believing. Believing we're conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I close tonight, regardless of the nature of the extremity of the crisis in one's life, there is always a conqueror available. Jesus has never seen a crisis he could not conquer. You must be struggling now, but hold on. If you're going through a struggle right now, hold on. Hold on. Hold on, I say again, and watch God take over. Pray, seek God, take authority, hold on, and watch God bring you through the crisis you're in. We must learn to allow God to work in our lives. Jesus is the cure for every crisis. Every crisis, we are conquerors through Christ Jesus. He has conquered everything that could ever happen to any of us at the cross of Calvary. He has conquered it all at the cross of Calvary. There's nothing that can harm us if we will hold on to Jesus Christ. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening, financial, spiritual, emotional, whatever, physical, it doesn't matter. Jesus is the cure for every crisis situation. We do not understand. He does, and He has an answer for us. So I want to say this tonight. I believe we're going to be going through some real battles and real struggles. We need to get ourselves centered on Christ, because that's a conqueror. I like what John Kilpatrick said when he said, God said, I'm sending my angels. I say, come on, angels. Come on. I remember in a service, I was in Bisbee, Arizona. I was pastoring there. I remember in a service that the power of God was moving. We were praying for the sick. People were being touched spiritually by the Lord. God was lifting them up. A young man, I guess he was about 10, 11, 12 years old. After the service was all over, we were all standing around, and he came up to his mother, and he said, Mother, did you see them? She said, see what? Did you see them? She said, see what? Did you see the angels? She said, where were they? He said, all over the platform, all over up there. They were all over the piano. They were everywhere, all over. Sometimes I wish, oh, Lord, let me have the eyes of a young child that has had no problems in his life, no sin, but had a clear mind and peace of heart and could see the things of God, to see the angels of God. One other time, I was leaving Salmon Well, I didn't know what to do. I prayed and I asked for God's good eyes. And I spent a lot of time at the church praying that night before I came home. I got home and climbed in bed. And I went to sleep and woke up. I looked at the foot of the bed, and there was this individual all in white with gold hair and a gold band around their waist. And I looked, and I blinked my eyes and looked again. The third time I blinked my eyes, it was gone. I believe an angel visited me that night and telling me that the Lord was with me no matter whatever decision I made, to stay or to leave. And that's the only time in my life that I've seen that. But you know, it's a tremendous experience to be able to see the angels of the Lord. It's a tremendous experience to know and feel the presence of the Almighty God and to know the power that you have, that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you any different. You are a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You have power and authority through Jesus Christ. Over every crisis in your life, God can conquer that crisis and bring you through it. God bless you.